On the southern Gulf coast of Florida, there is a man who, for the past half century, has had daily, cold-blooded encounters with some of the most dangerous creatures around. 88-year-old Bill Hoste extracts venom from the world's most poisonous snakes for use in medical research and the creation of anti-venom. And he does this work by hand, one snake at a time. NPR's Peter Breslow recently paid a visit to Mr. Hoste and his fanged collection.
In the empty, humid landscape outside of Punta Gorda, Florida, Bill Hoste and his wife Nancy care for two llamas, one horse, a couple of cats, and 200 or so of the most deadly creatures on Earth. Within 10 minutes of meeting Hoste, he has leapt over a 10-foot wall into an outdoor snake pit where he's raising eastern diamondback timber rattlers. He seems intent on showing a visitor just how close one can bring a microphone to the largest venomous snake in North America.
They are gentleman snakes. How are you, boy? See how close you can get to it? Now. Now he's on the alert. Want me to hold that down there?
I follow Bill Hoste into the pit and get about 2 feet from the annoyed rattler, coiled between two small palm trees. But Hoste is still not satisfied.
Oh, yeah. You can go much closer. You can go right to between these two palms with this.
And he won't strike?
Well, if he does, he's going to hit the mic.
I nudge the microphone to within a few inches of the vibrating diamondback. Finally, the snake's had enough, and quicker than you can blink, he strikes the padded microphone. Welcome to Miami Serpentarium Laboratories. The Miami part is left over from the original Serpentarium, which was located 200 miles to the east. There, in the late 1940s, Bill Hoste honed his serpent handling skills and supported his research by putting on snake shows for the public. Around this time, too, he began injecting himself with diluted cobra venom to build up his immunity to bites. It's a weekly practice his wife, who first became intimate with snakes as Hoste's assistant 30 years ago, continues today, although the cocktail now protects him from 32 varieties of poison.
Would you like your inoculation?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I scream now, you won't mind.
Bill Hoste, who never finished high school, doesn't consider himself a scientist, but merely a hands-on snake expert. He's a trim, sprightly man who could be pushing 70, not 90. On this summer day, he's dressed all in white. White shoes, white pants, white belt, white shirt, all matching a full head of white hair that frames a face astonishingly unlined by the decades. He won't make claims that a weekly injection and the occasional snake bite offer a prickly path to the fountain of youth, but he doesn't exactly deny it either.
The director of the Staten Island Zoo, when he heard what I was doing, he said, I won't give you a nickel for you lasting 2 years. That was in 48. I have no proof. So the only thing I can say is not only what I might look like, but I'm active from morning till night, 7 days a week. So if when I'm 100, if I'm doing just what I'm doing now, then I'll say it, yes, it's the venom.
Bill Hoste's blood is so potent, it's been used as an antivenom 21 times. He's been made an honorary citizen of Venezuela for flying down there to give a transfusion to a young victim, and a plaque in his office presented by President Gerald Ford commemorates the day in 1976 when Hoste's blood saved two people in the same hospital on the same day. Hoste himself, who began catching snakes in New Jersey around age 5, has been bitten some 168 times. Most recently by a rattlesnake.
My hand's still numb. It's about a month, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's still numb.
Now, I notice one of your fingers is missing a joint.
Well, that's missing. This muscle's gone. Look, I can't open my hand.
It was about 4 years ago, while trying to free a western cottonmouth caught under some wire mesh, that Bill Hoste lost much of his right pinky from a dose of venom that, over the course of 2 weeks, ate away his flesh.
He latches on to me, he or she, and just hangs on. And it began to deteriorate, and then there protruded a bone, and the flesh was gone. So I said, what did I say? Nancy, cut my fingernail?
Oh, it's just a finger. I said, that's your bone. I can't do that.
Oh, yeah. So Nancy got it.
He said, oh, it's just a fingernail. Cut it off. Just as soon as I did that, I knew what it was, you know. I said, oh, gosh.
And in 1989, he was struck by a lethal saw-scaled viper. That bite required antivenom smuggled out of Iran to save him. For someone who has spent more than half his life surrounded by snakes, Bill Haas' relationship with them remains purely professional. He respects snakes, but he doesn't think much of them as pets. He says they're totally instinctive, they don't snuggle up to be petted, and you'd better not leave the cage open because they won't be back.
I don't think he's going to do so well.
Except for the outdoor timber rattlers, Bill Haas' 200 or so snakes reside in his lab in pizza box-shaped aluminum containers. Once every 2 weeks, each snake sees the light of day just long enough to be fed and have its venom extracted. Nancy Haas differentiates between extracting venom and milking the snake.
It's a very streamlined process. So collect the venom, just let them give it the venom voluntarily, which they're usually quite anxious to do. Being captured, their first instinct is to bite whatever they can reach. To take the venom by force, would be to injure the delicate tissues and the delicate muscles around the glands, so we don't do that.
Stacked on tall carts with wheels are the aluminum boxes containing crates, copperheads, coral snakes, boom slangs, green tree snakes, Egyptian cobras, spitting cobras, monocle cobras, and the snake phobe's nightmare, an 8-foot-long black mamba.
For you to be bitten by any snake in this room and maybe not make it would be this particular one.
Don't open it.
You can't open it. See, we got it locked. They have quite the reputation in Africa.
Venom extracted from these snakes is freeze-dried and sold to commercial drug laboratories and universities. Haast is the biggest supplier in the U.S. Aside from use as antivenom, the poisons are aiding research into pain receptors, breast cancer, organ transplant rejection, and blood coagulation. Haas claims he was well on his way to finding a cure for polio with cobra venom when the Salk vaccine came out. Later, Haas and a Florida doctor began experimenting with a venom serum for use in treating arthritis and multiple sclerosis. But in 1979, the FDA shut that program down.
I don't know. Someday, something might come to pass. Because of my stick-to-itiveness, perseverance.
He's known it all along, intuitively, the tremendous destructive power. It's like lightning. Look at the power of electricity and what we can do with it, or fire. And venom is a destructive force when you get it concentrated, but controlled, it is just one of those marvels of nature that are we're just beginning to see what it can do.
The work is lucrative. Bill and Nancy Haast have an 88-acre spread, a ruby red Rolls-Royce, and a vintage 1956 Lincoln Continental. A gram of coral snake venom sells for $1,000, a gram of boom slang for $6,000. Of course, it can take hundreds of extractions to produce a single gram. Bill Haast figures he's performed the procedure more than 2 million times. Today, his subject is a monocle cobra from Thailand. With absolute concentration, Haast opens the aluminum box and the brownish 4-foot-long cobra begins writhing, poking his head out of the enclosure and peering over the side of the metal lab table. Haast feints with his left hand to distract the snake and moves his right into position to grab the animal behind its hood, now flared, revealing the single eye-like marking that gives the monocle cobra its name. With his flowing white hair and quick arm movements, Haast almost looks like a conductor leading an orchestra composed of one very ornery musician. All the while, Nancy Haast stands at the ready, attentive but also supremely confident in her husband's skills. Before Haast can grab the snake, it slithers onto the floor and squirms, trying to get some traction on the linoleum. With a fixed gaze, Haast reaches down and grabs the cobra by the tail. Fangs bared, it flails through the air, seeking something to strike. It seems impossible the handler is not bitten, but Haast is just slightly quicker, anticipating the snake's movements. Finally, he's able to grab its neck and guide its fangs into the rubber membrane stretched over a glass beaker.
Okay. They should bite.
Well, he was really ready to bite.
Mm-hmm. They never run out of it. They always have enough to be dangerous. The venom glands are like modified salivary glands, and they always have enough to bite again.
After a few drops of the precious lethal liquid are collected, Haast eases a tube down the cobra's throat and gently cranks out a concentrated food mixture from a jerry-rigged caulking gun. Then, back safe in his box, the cobra curls up in the cool darkness until his next visit with Bill Haast 2 weeks from now. After jotting down on an index card the amount of venom extracted and food fed to the cobra, Haast moves on to his next subject.
This is a large coral snake. He'll probably bite tenaciously, see?
At 88 years old, Bill Haast does not appear to be anywhere near retirement age, for which the labs he supplies are thankful. As a matter of fact, the sometimes inventor, who claims to have come up with the idea for inline skates some 50 years ago, is at work on a new creation. It's a high-fiber, zero-cholesterol breakfast bar, he hopes, perhaps like a tiny dose of snake venom, will help one live a long and healthy life. Peter Breslow, NPR News, Punta Gorda, Florida.